wanna baller like the Wizards. Yeah, you know what I mean. When I'm blue, I'm on the net. Girl, showing shots for the team. I was in high school dreams. Now I'm almost looking clean. Teaching game like a dean. Coach all these girls to a ring.
Hey guys, welcome to the Locked On Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Troy Halliburton. And join with me, I have some very, very special guests. It's a mega pod. I have Brianna Holmes making her first appearance on the podcast.
Hi, you
might know her from asking all of the best questions at the Scott Brooks press conferences. And she works for WKYS 93.9, the radio station. We have Becca MVP, the real MVP. Shout out to Wanda Durant, but the real MVP, Miss Becca Winker. Doing amazing things over at Wizard Extra, and my guy Chris Krause. Man, Chris, how you doing today?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, man, ladies, how you all doing?
Doing good. We got a win tonight.
Yeah, we're here in Capital One Arena. We're in this dressing room. I think this might be one of the Wizards dancers' dressing room. But we're in here after the Wizards came out, eked out a very big win, 118-112 over the Atlanta Hawks. And keeping their very much fleeting playoff hopes alive, what were you guys' impression of the Wizards being able to eke out this victory after, you know, they were up as much as, what, I think 18 points in the game, and I thought that they were going to be able to run away with this and Brad would be able to sit out the fourth quarter. But, you know, in classic So Wizards fashion, the Hawks made a comeback behind a career night from Cam Reddish. But what did you guys think about the team being able to pull out the victory? We'll start with Brianna here.
This was an exciting game. Of course, when we saw that they were up early, we all got excited. But as we have watched the team for very long, you can't relax all the time once that happens. So it was a little nerve-wracking towards the end, but I'm happy to see that the defense did kind of pick up. And even though, like, we saw Rui didn't have the best game, but he was still able to be effective in other ways. And so that was good to see.
Yeah, so you just admitted that you were nervous heading down the stretch. It's okay.
Yeah, it was getting a little too close for comfort. You know, it was just like, what? You know, it's like you looked up and it was like, now it's, what, a 3-point difference or whatever, however close it got. And
exactly.
Like, what?
I know if you're sitting next to Becca, then I know that like you all were like probably biting your fingernails because like Becca worries so much, and I love it because I mean she's just so optimistic, and as soon as the team stops doing bad, she starts freaking out. So yo, Becca, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how big was your freak out when the Hawks got the lead to within 4 points, I believe, in the last 2 minutes of the game?
Well, it was pretty moderate, honestly. I think they can testify to that because Bree has seen me in so many worse situations. So honestly, it was like nothing. But as far as getting the win tonight, I think it was really important to get the win after a really rough road trip out west.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
I think it's good for them to get their confidence going.
Yeah, they needed a confidence booster for sure. As you said, they went 1-3 on their West Coast road trip. And, you know, the worst thing about it was, like, I mean, they were getting mollywopped in those, you know, second two games. I know they were down as much as, I think, what, 27 points against Sacramento. And at least they came back in that game and, like, made it competitive. Jeez. I mean,
I called my dad to wake him up. He was so mad that I did that because they ended up losing.
Exactly.
So the next night he says, don't call me again. I don't care if they're up by 100 points. I do not want to hear about it.
Yeah. No, I definitely blame those 10 p.m. star times for throwing my sleep schedule off this week, though. But Chris, what did you think about the Wizards being able to eke out this victory against Atlanta Hawks? And we have to start by saying that the Hawks played a game without Trae Young. So, I mean, when you talk about you know, a G League level roster, I mean, they played the College Park Skyhawks tonight.
Did Capella play? Well,
I wouldn't say all that.
No Capella. Yeah, so, I mean.
Duncan's pretty good. Cam Reddish is, you know, he's up and coming. They have a good squad going.
Yeah, Cam Reddish literally had his best game of his career against the Wizards. Like,
but you know what my favorite
Everybody
part?
Everybody has the best game against
Reddish.
The Wizards.
Reddish had to do a dunk. He was like, did you see that?
Two-handed, yeah.
I mean, if he threw that down, that would be fantastic.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I'm glad he didn't.
Next year, or get somebody else.
Yeah, so I think that this is a perfect segue to talk about, you know, the fact that, you know, Cam Reddish had, you know, a career night. He scored 28 points. And then when you look at it conversely, Rui Hachimura only had 3 points. And whether either one of these players like it or not, these guys will be connected to each other just because of the fact that, you know, there was a large percentage of the Wizards fan base who wanted them to take Cam Reddish with that 9th overall pick. And so I think that if you look at this one game sample size, you might say, oh man, the Wizards blew it. But in actuality, Rui has had a much better overall season than Cam Reddish. But, you know, Cam, he came out and, you know, I got a chance to actually talk to Cam in the locker room after. And I asked him, you know, do you, you know, relish these opportunities to play against teams that, you know, pass on you in the draft? And he had a very good answer. He said, you know, that no, he doesn't think about it like that at all, that God put him in a certain place that he's exactly where God wants him to be.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a good way to look at it.
And I mean, that's a great way of looking at it. So, you know, I think that for Reddish, he is in a good situation in Atlanta because, you know, number one, like they had a guy that they drafted in front of him who, you know, DeAndre Hunter. I didn't know that he was even in the game until until there's like 2 minutes left. And he cried. I was like, damn, like DeAndre, I thought he was out too. But what do you guys think about looking back after we have this kind of half a season or three quarters of a season worth of stats? What do you all feel about that decision that the Wizards made and drafted Rui over Cam?
I mean, Scott Brooks said tonight they're finally at 500 for the home
game. Yeah.
So, you know, that's a good thing. But, yeah, I mean, I think that Rui brought something more, not only just on the court, but also outside the court. I mean, we're seeing so many different types of fans coming out. We're seeing, you know, everywhere he goes, he has, like, an entourage with him. And I think that that says a lot for the team, too, and how accepting it is and everything like that and bridging the cultures and all that together. But also, I think, I mean, Rui, like what Scott Brooks was saying tonight, he's still getting used to a lot of stuff, like coming off of this road trip and coming here tonight and trying to adjust back into playing. I guess it messed up his flow and rhythm, as Scott Brooks said tonight. So, you know, I think it's still a learning process, and I think we still have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think that's the key thing. I think that, you know, it's we can judge, you know, how they played so far, but that doesn't mean that this is how it's always going to be. Right. And like, they're still very young players. They're both rookies, and so there's going to be a learning curve for both of these guys when it comes to, you know, being professional athletes. And so, you know, I don't think that we'll have the answer by the end of this season as to who was the right decision or who was the right player.
It's going to take a while.
Yeah, but like I said, I mean, we can't help but to compare the two. What are your thoughts on the whole Cam Reddish versus Rui Hachimura debate?
Well, I was one that was a little confused when they drafted Rui, but it didn't take me long to see the value of him. I did get to speak to Tommy Shepard a couple games ago about him, and he says, you know, he knows when to be mature and he knows when to have fun, and he's energetic, and that's really important. He says that he's the funniest guy on the team. So it's funny because we don't always see that, but because he knows when to be serious, and he's really mature, and I think he's valuable in a rookie sense too. He's only a rookie. And as far as just to, you know, reiterate what you had said about who's better, and, you know, like we can't base their whole career off of one season. We're gonna need to wait and see. So there's no right answer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, we're here covering the Wizards right now, so the right answer is always Rui Hachimura.
Well, yes. If you're not on Team Rui, you're not on Team Wizards. Therefore, you need to go away now.
All right, but Chris, what are your thoughts on this great Rui Hachimura versus Cam Reddish debate of 2020? This is more enthralling than Biden versus Bernie Sanders.
Oh no, Troy.
we'll shy away from that one. But Hachimura, he just fits better with this team than Cam would have, right? You know, if Cam's going to be an all-star, he's going to be an all-star, and we missed out, right? If he's not, then the role he plays is not going to mesh well with John, not going to mesh well with Bradley. And I think overall, Hachimura at the center position is going to be a thing. We saw down the stretch, he played John Collins, and he manhandled him in the post, got two rebounds towards the end of the game that really secured the game. And I think that's going to be what we're going to see, you know, 2-3 years down the line is like the best version of the Wizards is him at center, and he can play.
Yeah, no, I think I like the fact that you know, Scott Brooks has gone to the Rui Hachimura at center lineup. I think that that West Coast road trip really kind of unlocked something within him, because I think that Brooks went to that earlier on in the season, but that was like kind of out of necessity because the team, all the centers were hurt. And so it's like, well, we have to play Rui at center. But now it's like they have, you know, Mahimi, and they have Brian, they have Mo, and they have AP, and they're all healthy, and he's still choosing to go to Rui at center. So I feel like that honestly is an indicator to, you know, where they think that, you know, it can be that Rui can be effective on the court. And so when you look at, you know, with his build, like, you know, Rui's a, like, he's a strong guy. Like, and so when you talk about like today's NBA, like if he can come out there and he can, you know, push guys around in the paint and kind of hold his own and be able to box them out and get rebounds, this could be a lineup that can unlock a lot of things for the Wizards. But I think that it's definitely too early to call on this great debate. But I mean, Cam got one in the ledger tonight, so you know he won the battle,
okay,
but he will not win the war.
No.
Exactly.
No, he will not win the war.
He will not win the war. So, but I thought that that was good, and that was obviously a very important part of why the Wizards were able to win, like with Rui coming up with those big rebounds. He had a big rebound that led to a jump ball, and then they won the jump ball tap, and then he came back and got another rebound. So not only is demoralizing, you know, for the end of the game, if a team's trying to make a comeback and you just, you know, keep getting these rebounds and keep extending the possessions. But I want to take a quick break right now. And on the other side of that break, I want to talk about Bradley Beal, who had another ho-hum 35 points tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, just another day in the office for Brad. And so I want to talk about what you guys have seen from him over this streak. I think he's up to 21 games in a row now with 25 points or more.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we'll take a quick break. And then on the other side, we'll dive into what we've learned from about Brad's game over since he's snubbed from the All-Star game.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So, Brad, like I said, another day at the office, 35 points. Chris, I'm going to start with you, man. What have you thought about Brad's, not his performance tonight, of scoring 35 points, but also like the fact that he came out and he really, you know, took it upon himself to make sure that the team was able to close out that game in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I think his scoring just been on another level, and you kind of see what he can do as a number one option. And I mean, I don't know, like I think it's going to be really tricky when Johnson's back next year, but for now, you just got to enjoy it and let him run the show.
Yeah, I mean, hey, speaking of, I think that there was a great article today by Mark Spears in The Undefeated where they talked about Brad's relationship with John. And, you know, I think that there was a lot made about their relationship in the past,
right,
where people tried to, like, kind of pit them against each other. And I think that Brad has really gone out of his way to make sure that he includes John and, you know, and to make sure that his legacy is, you know, still revered with the highest regard as it should be. And he gives John credit for helping him to become the player that he is right now. And so when you look at, you know, some of the quotes that Brad had in that article, how he talks about that, you know, he and John are going to be able to mesh well. You know, when you think about, you know, Brad and him having to take on so much of the point guard and ball handling duties, this is something that he's not going to have to do with when John comes back next year, and he can just focus on going out there and getting buckets. But and he's shown over, you know, the last you know, 6 weeks or so that, I mean, that he's a certified bucket. So
and he shared tonight that he's been working with his trainer and changed the way that he shoots in order to get to continue the streak and in order to improve his shooting. So he's not afraid to look at, I don't know, how many years has he been in the league? And he's like, I'm still going to switch things up. I might learn something new, like whatever. He's still open.
He's teachable.
To a lot of things, which I think is going to be great too when John comes back, because both of them are going to have to basically learn again how to work together, how to lead the team together, how to communicate on the court and all of that. So it should be interesting.
You know, I hate when people say that they've already tried the John Wall, Bradley Beal experiment. And while that is true, John Wall has not played in a long time, right? And Beal has, this is like his learning years, you know, developing years, and he's really changed the way he plays, his maturity, his leadership capabilities. You know, he knows when to, you know, let other players, you know, shine and have their time, and he knows when he needs to contribute. So I think it's going to be a little bit different this time around when John returns.
Yeah, I think it'll be different too, just because, I mean, Brad is a much more mature. He's not the same player at all.
That's what it boils down to.
Exactly. Like, he's a completely different player. And so I think that when you look at John and the things, when you look at John's skill set and the things that make him an elite point guard is his ability to, I mean, get his teammates, like, wide open shots. Like, that's the thing that makes John Wall the best. I saw that there was a stat earlier this year where they were talking about players who have created the most corner threes for their teammates. And John Wall was fifth on that list, and he didn't miss like two seasons. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so this, right. Like, this is like for him to be top five on the list over the last 5 years,
right.
But he's literally not played in like half of those games. Like, that just lets you know, like, yeah, that lets you know that his specialty is getting guys wide open looks. And so when you look at Brad and, you know, at the beginning of the season, his three-point shot was kind of struggling a little bit. That's because, I mean, he's having to adjust to double teams and guys coming at him and, you know, having to pull up and shoot over two or three defenders. When John Wall's back, like, he can go back to, I'm going to do a little back pin down and I'm getting the ball in the corner. I'm shooting wide open shots, like stuff that he's not, that he would never, ever get. So, you know, I think that, like you said, Becca, like Brad is a completely different player. He's grown so much as a player. And so their dynamic is going to be really different when John comes back. What are your thoughts on this, though, Chris?
I mean, I think you're going to see, you know, Brooks or whoever's here are going to stagger the minutes. You know,
or whoever's here. Ooh.
He just
slid that right in there.
You thought you were slick with that.
Exactly.
I can't get nothing faster, you guys. But no, I think they're going to be, you know, you're going to have to stagger the minutes between the two of them, especially when John's coming back. You know, he's going to need the ball in his hands to get himself going, to get back in a rhythm, but... ultimately, I mean, they're going to be two of the five best players on the Wizards, you know, like just how salary cap is and who they can actually add. So, it's going to be the sequel to what we saw before, but it'll be slightly different.
It'll be a better sequel.
Yeah.
It'll be a good sequel. Like,
it'll be the best sequel. So it'll be the Godfather 2 of sequels.
Exactly. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm not making any promises, but.
Yeah. There's one thing before we finish up this with the Wall Beal topic. I do want to touch on something that Brieg said earlier when she said that, you know, Brad gave credit to his trainer. And so shout out to Drew Hanlon, who is Brad's trainer. And he also trains Jason Tatum. And he also trained Kelly Oubre. And so when you look at all three of those players, like, and what they've added as far as a ball handling and shot creating standpoint, I think that, you know, that's the best advertising for Drew Hanlon's, like, services as an agent, I mean, as a trainer, because, like, every last one of those guys, you can see that they're adding different things to their, you know, their ball handling package. And so when you look at guys like, you know, Beal, who was an all-star, and he's taking his game up to another level. Tatum, who was, you know, going to his third year, he was a player who, you know, people were disappointed with how he played last year, and he's turned himself into an all-star. And Kelly, who was in D.C., he was, you know, a bit player. He was a rotational player, and he's developed himself into a certified starter now.
Yeah.
So I think that we have to give Drew Hanlon a lot of credit for, you know, working with these guys during the offseason. He clapped it up with your head. So shout out to Drew Hanlon.
And you help Marco.
Hey, that's another one. Even though, I don't know, I think they had a little bit of a falling out with their relationship. I don't know if Markelle Fultz is going to make the Drew Hanlon website as far as bringing in endorsements. But, I mean, hey, Markelle might have gotten mad at Drew, but, you know, at the end of the day, he did help him with his skill set stuff. And so Markelle is literally having the best season of his NBA career. But yeah, I think that was a very important topic. I want to finish up. I'm going to take another break. And on the other side, I want to have a Vince Carter appreciation moment. So we saw Vince. This will very likely be the last time that we all get a chance to see Vince Carter coming into DC. So I want to go around the round table and just say some nice things about Vince Carter. And it's good to give people their flowers while they can still smell them. So, you know, I think that Vince was definitely a very pivotal player for that past generation in that post-Jordan era to help keep the NBA afloat. So we're going to take a break, and after that, we're going to say some very nice things about Vince Carter. All right, now, Chris, are we going to finish up strong here, man? What did you think about Vince tonight? He got a standing ovation, round of applause when he checked into the game. He had a play where he made the whole Hawks bench stand up when Davis Bertans went flying by him into the sidelines, and he stepped back and hit a three. But what have you thought about Vince on his farewell tour? And what are some of your fond memories of Vincenity over the course of his 20-plus year NBA career?
Well, first, I think it's really remarkable what he's doing at this age. I mean, it's just kind of crazy, you know, to be able to play like 15 minutes and look like one of the best players really on the bench for the Hawks. But something about Vince that that really stands out to me is when he went to the Mavericks, right? He, you know, before that he was kind of like a star. He came in, he's one of the main players, and he really embraced his role, which a lot of players, you know, really didn't do it up till that point. And he created a whole second career for him. I mean, this was back in 2011, 2012. Mm-hmm. He's basically had a whole second half of a career as someone who you know, can play a role off the bench, can play can play really any role you put him in, and a lot of players wouldn't do that.
No, you're right. Like that's definitely commendable for him to go from being, you know, a franchise level player, NBA All-Star, superstar, to be able to humble yourself really in order to play that role. It just says a lot about him and his character. Becca, what have you thought about Vince's farewell tour, and what are some of your fond memories of Sir Carter?
Well, this is going to be hard for me to admit, but I probably give John Wall the biggest hits on YouTube for his highlights, mm-hmm. but I watch more Vince Carter highlights than John Wall, and I know that's hard to believe because, you know, I'm always...
Whisper, it's not that hard.
No, it's not that hard, but I spend a lot of time looking at his past years, and I'm always just, like, amazed, and, you know, I'll watch the same highlights over and over again, and it's just... He's fun to watch, and he's a legend. I mean, there's not much else you can really say. It's unfortunate that this is his last season, but, I mean, the way he's doing it, you know, still being able to play the way he does after 22 years in the NBA, I mean, that's amazing.
Absolutely amazing. So, Bree, what are your impressions of Mr. Vince Carter? And give us some of your fond memories of watching him ball out over the last two decades.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy still to think about, you know, when for normal, everyday people that have just, like, you know, a job to go to, you might not think 22 years is a long time, but... This is 22 years of
physical.
Yeah, exactly.
Of all of this, like, it's a lot. And so to see him, like, go through that, and even just talking to him just a few minutes ago, and, like, him not looking like, it's over. You know, we're media is like, come on, you can do
it. Yeah, we're like, you can do
another
year.
I saw him getting dressed like an old man at this locker. He was like really struggling. I was like, oh man, yeah, it's definitely time for him to hang him up.
And you know, he knows. He's like, I'm accepting this. I'm good with my 22 years. I think that's
he's
respectable.
He's
yeah.
content with it.
Right. Exactly.
He's like, I'm not thinking about the end of my tour. I'm just taking it day by day, and I'm enjoying it. And he's like, I'll process it when I have to.
And I think he's really excited about his post-career, too. You know, similar to, like, Kobe, who had things ready. You know, he was lined up for after, okay, I know that I'm done. Like, I know, but I have so many other things that I want to do. And even, like, Tim Duncan, like, a lot of people that are just, like, trying different things. And he's ready to get into media. And, I mean, he's already been doing it for a while. But he wants to do that, like, full on. So... that's going to be fun. I mean, people are not, you're not going to really, like, be missing him.
Yeah, because he'll still be around, for sure. For sure. So, yeah, for me, I agree with everything that, you know, this illustrious panel has said about Vince. the one thing that I want to throw out there, like, I mean, you talked about his highlights. I mean, I don't feel ashamed saying this. Like, Vince Carter is the best dunker that I've probably ever seen. He's the best in-game dunker.
Yeah.
He's the best dunk contest dunker. Like, Vince Carter did, like, things that are, seem humanly impossible. Like, yo, like, what Aaron Gordon jumped over Taco Fall in a dunk contest. Like, Vince Carter jumped over a 7-footer in a game. Like, yo, like, in a legit basketball
like
game. Like, yo, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Vince Carter, like, his athleticism and his ability to finish dunks at the rim is, like, it's literally unmatched by anybody. Now, I'm not old enough. I don't remember, you know, the Dominique Wilkins era. But, you know, like, Vince Carter, I think that he brought a little bit – he had the flying of Air Jordan with also the power of a Dominique with his dunk. So, I mean, I know he didn't throw one down the night, but, you know, I just want to remember Vince Carter and his height being the best dunker that this game has ever seen.
And speaking of dunks really quick, I think that freaking Aaron should have won.
Hey, I asked.
I know that.
I asked Vince Carter this, and you see, he might have a career in politics too because he took. He said, "Oh, I didn't watch it, so I don't really know." Blah blah blah.
He was good at maneuvering that question.
He was very. And I kept following up, and he kept.
Yeah.
Hey, exactly. He kept worming his way around that one. So hey, he knows the media game very well right now. But hey guys, like I greatly appreciate you all taking the time to come on the pod, and you know, because there's a whole dance party going out there, and I know you guys are disappointed by not being able to participate in that.
We got to see Beyonce.
It was incredible.
Oh my goodness!
Don't act like you weren't impressed, Troy.
Hey, I was very impressed. All right, but hey, as always though, I want to give you all an opportunity to kind of plug yourselves and plug your work and let the people know where they can find you. Starting with Bree as the first time guest on the pod, let the people know where they can find you and what's the best radio station in the DMV to listen to.
Yes, please make sure you are listening to all Radio 1 stations, WKYS, Team 980, Magic, Praise, it's a bunch of good stations. Anyways, my name is Brianna. You can follow me at Vids by Bree. I'm a video producer, and so that's what I do by day. But I enjoy writing for the websites and everything like that for the Wizards.
Yeah. Exactly. And hey, if you all ever watch a Scott Brooks press conference, you hear those questions that are coming, and Scott Brooks, whenever he has a smile on his face, 9 times out of 10, it was a question from Bree. Nah, but go ahead, Beck. I mean, everybody knows who you are, but you gotta still plug yourself though.
Hey guys, if you don't know who I am, then I'm sorry, but
it's humble.
No,
yeah.
I'm sorry because
you don't know me.
Exactly.
I'm sorry because I've done this podcast, and maybe I don't know. I'm glad that you're still listening because Troy is amazing.
This could be a first time listener.
Exactly. Yeah. This could be a first-time listener. So,
do you guys want
to
talk for me? Because you can.
No.
Troy, why don't you? No, you can tell them where at. Because I'm done with it.
Follow her, Becca MVP.
Thank you.
Exactly. We started out. I mean, everybody knows where to find you, but there could be possibly a first-time listener out there. So, let them know where to find you.
You can find me at Becca MVP, also WizardsExtra.com, at WizardsExtra Twitter, and yeah.
Boom. Arian, finish up.
And I'm Chris Krause. Catch me at Slam Magazine, Heavy.com. Twitter is at NBA Krause, CROUSE.
There you go, man. Chris does amazing things. Just looking at salary cap stuff. I sit next to Chris at some games. I'm like, yo, is that a spreadsheet you got open? like you're an accountant. What's going on here, man? Nah. But Chris takes the job very seriously,
though.
And
he's a comedian.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go. There you go. No, this I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say it's the funniest Locked On Wizards podcast. And so this is perfect coming in at 30 minutes. I know David Locke's going to be very happy about that.
Mr. Locke, if you're listening, Troy did it correctly, 100%, nailed it.
Hey, there we go, there we go. All right, but hey, as always, thanks for listening, and we will see you all on Sunday when the Wizards take on the Miami Heat.
Like Gilbert Arenas. Now I'm chilling back, giving advice. I buy my girl shit, it don't matter the price. They see that I'm taking, they try getting pants. Label money, I just tell in advance. I ain't cheating, I'm just trying to dance. She just trying to have me up in a trance. I'm in a strip club like fuck it. They just trying to make some buckets. Love when I slap down my ones, but it bounced like a ball when I struck it. So if you ever see a real nigga like me, just let them live and just be how it be. Go to the club with them two in your seat. With a J, we be on the same team.
I want a baller like the Wizards. Yeah, you know what I mean. When I'm blue, I'm on the net. Girl, shooting shots for the team. I was in high school with dreams. Now I'm almost looking clean. Teaching game like a dean. Coach all these girls to a ring. I want a ball, I like the Wizards. Yeah, you know what I mean. When I'm blue, I'm on the net. Girl, shooting shots for the team. I was in high school with dreams. Now I'm almost looking clean. Teaching game like a dean. Coach all these girls to a ring.